It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Hello,
hello,
hello.
We're glad to be back.
Glad
it feels
to
like
be
we've
back.
Been gone forever, right?
Yeah, it does. That 1 week break, I think, feels really long.
It does feel really long. It feels like a year, but no, that's hyperbole.
Yeah.
But well, we're just glad to be back. It's been amazing, you know. Whatever's been happening in our lives, I bet, has been amazing. What brought you joy?
Well, what brought me joy? I mean, I think it feels long, too, because I have been going through a rough time in the past couple months. And I think because we haven't been recording or anything, it's just been a long time, just grieving. So something that has brought me joy is actually taking a lot of time to myself.
That's amazing.
And resting. And I know that'll fall right into what we're talking about today, but it really has been healing to rest, just because the emotions have been so high for me and have been unhealthy at some points. So I think I have been gaining a lot of joy from resting and taking time to myself and just processing these unhealthy emotions and just knowing that I'm just going through it.
That's powerful. What you're saying about rest is pretty powerful. Yeah.
What about you, Mary? What's your joy?
My joy has actually been love. Not me being in love, but over the past couple of weeks, I've been to two friends' weddings. And both weddings were beautiful. And I felt it was a privilege for me to be a part of both those weddings and celebrate their love with them. And so that brought me a lot of joy, and even getting to dress up and getting to dance to love songs, and you know.
I saw your outfit looking fly.
Yo! I'm trying to find myself. But yeah, it was the two weddings brought me joy, and I'm so glad both of my friends are now married and they've started a journey with their sweethearts. It brought me a lot of joy. Yeah.
Aw, that's good.
So Jenny, I'm actually really intrigued by, you know, what you shared, like your joy and rest and how much, because for you, you've been through a period of grieving, and how you walked through some of that grief was by resting, taking time to be with yourself and taking a break from the day-to-day social activities. And I find that profound, because when we had decided to try and do an episode on rest, I did a little bit of research and I found out that there's actually a difference between rest and sleep. Because I think many of us say, oh, I'm going to go rest. And what automatically comes to our heads is, I'm going to go and sleep. But they're entirely very different things. So what I found was, sleep is a natural state when our bodies are inactive. And rest has more to do with relaxation, and it's more intentional. So then I'm going to ask you, Jenny, what was rest like for you? What did that look like? What activities did that involve?
Yeah, I think for me, rest was not doing anything. So, you know, Halloween had just passed. There are a lot of events going on. I'm someone who likes to do things and say yes to things. Mm-hmm. But knowing that my energy was, or my emotions were maybe coming out in unhealthy ways, I didn't want other people to be around that. So I think for me, it was really taking myself out of being in group settings or being around people where I could get triggered, you know, or maybe other people's energies were triggering me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was one huge thing, was just being away from people and just staying indoors.
Wow.
It was so wild. So yeah. I don't know what it was. I mean, Halloween night was pretty wild. But as soon as I parked my car, there was just like, my mind was already like running 100 miles an hour. But I hear like coyotes really close to me and like dogs barking. It just seemed like everything was just happening at once. You know, like all these emotions in my head, feeling not so great. With my emotions, and then walking out to all of these animals like howling, and like I never hear that in that neighborhood. So it just felt like it was a sign for me to just not go out, you know. Like I already knew that I didn't want to go out, but that was just another sign, like saying like, hey, you know what, outside energy is probably where you shouldn't be right now.
Right. And so you listen to your body.
Yeah,
that's great. So as we're talking about rest, I don't know if any of you have heard of this author. She's called Trisha Hersey, and I hope I pronounced her name right. I'm not so sure. She started this whole thing called the Nap Ministry, and when I used to look at her bio, or like, you know, someone's, what is it, ID or name on Twitter, I used to be like, the Nap Ministry, what the heck? Because in my head, I would be like, oh, because of the way I was raised, if someone's just talking about sleeping all the time, then they are lazy. But I listened to her again, and I listened to her reasons for rest. And she just released a book called Rest is Resistance, a Manifesto. And I was like, yo, rest is actually really resistance. Because she was talking about how we are living in these oppressive systems, like the system of capitalism that wants you to keep going. It wants you to keep going and keep going and keep going at the detriment of your body. And then other oppressive systems like white supremacy, and people keep going until they actually die from exhaustion or from their bodies giving way, high levels of burnout, depression, and all these kinds of things. And I was like, wow, rest is actually resistance. And I think the way we are raised, I was like, oh my God. And you know, she gives examples. I think people should go out and look for her books. She gives examples about, you know, how she's been using rest. And how sometimes she says no to deals or to engagements just because she needs to rest and she doesn't need to take in stuff all the time. And even when she says no to some of these engagements, she might feel a little bad in that moment because it means money lost. But there's always a way. Something always works out eventually. So listening to her, I was like, this rest thing is really, really deep. And so then so as I was doing my research, I also came across, you know, different people talking about rest and what it means to them. And there's this whole misconception that people actually unrest, like you have to unrest. I don't know if you've heard people talk about that, but the truth is everyone deserves to rest. And rest looks very different. I used to think rest was one thing. Like, I used to think, it's just lying down. But the more I dive deep into it, I realize, oh, there's actually different kinds of rest. And when we are able to practice all these different kinds of rest, then we are able to meaningfully regenerate our brains, regenerate our energy, and then we're able to do even more. And it was mind-blowing for me. So anyway, would you like to know what I found out about the different kinds of rest?
I was just going to ask you. I know you've told me that there are 7 types of rests. Mm-hmm. So would love for you to just jump right in it and let us know what those 7 types are.
Right. So the first one is physical rest, which is basically you take time away from work or hands-on activity. And so this could mean like maybe in your busy day, you're kind of like, maybe you work at a computer. and you know, you're typing in and doing all this data and all that stuff. So that means you take like a 5 minutes break away from your computer, maybe you walk around, and that's like, that rest is needed for you to be able to come back and then do more. Or physical rest could also be, I think, what we do when we take leave from our work places. So that's important. I think that's just for the physical body. And then the other one that blew me away was creative rest. I didn't even know creative rest exists, but it actually does make sense if you're the sort of person that's creating. And creating doesn't mean you're artistic, just in the process of creating, like if you're always creating something, coming up with stuff, coming up with policies, you are actually creating. And so it's important to take a break from creating because it's very exhausting. It's exhausting on the body. And so this could be for people that are musicians, maybe you're recording an album, maybe you're writing a song. It's just taking a break from walking. I mean, from creating. You just walk away from your work. Just take a break until you feel your brain has got that rest to come back and create more. And it could look different. It could be taking a hike, going for a short walk. I don't know, doing some fun stuff away from the creative process. Then the other one was emotional rest. And I was like, emotional rest, what the heck is that? But it's actually being able to express your emotions honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know about you people, but for me, I think sometimes I repress what I feel on the inside. Sometimes I'm trying to be proper, let's say in a work setting. And so you can't like fully express yourself. So I was like, okay, this is actually important for me to be able to express my emotions honestly. And the explanation here was it could be through therapy. It could be through journaling. It could be through venting to a trusted friend, someone whereby you can say, okay, this is what happened at my workplace, and this is who spoke like this, and this is how I felt. And then you're releasing all that emotion that's maybe bottled up inside you, or maybe you're just processing emotions with a therapist or through journaling. I know, Jenny, you talk about journaling a lot. Like, you talk about how it's helpful for you to process stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that's sort of like emotional rest.
It's actually been like, I've talked about journaling in like earlier episodes, but going through grief recently, I haven't journaled. I think it's so interesting that emotional rest is feeling your emotions. Because I didn't think that's what it meant. But it makes sense. It's like processing through your emotions and allowing for your body to release all of the tension and everything that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's like allowing your body and mind to rest through releasing your emotions, right?
Imagine.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And I think that's where like sometimes we have people busting out after suppressing their emotions for a very long time in relationships. Then the other one was mental rest, which is basically breaks that involve little brain power. And these are actually things we do every day without thinking about it. For example, it could be like listening to a podcast or tidying up your desk. Maybe you've been working so hard and so you're like, oh, let me take a break and then put the pencils away or try and do this. You're using little brain power, but you're giving yourself a mental break. And I was like, oh, this is actually a good practice to have, especially if you work in a demanding job. Or like even activists, I think activists sort of like, they exert a lot. Like they have to think of policies, they have to think of strategies, they have to think of this, they have to think of that. They have to think of how to explain things to people. So I think having these mental breaks throughout their day is very helpful. And not just activists, but anyone that's really exerting their mental power needs a mental break.
Yeah. That's why sometimes you hear like those who have jobs that require you using a lot of your brain power. They just, after work, they just want to like binge watch shows because they don't want to think about anything. Like when people say, you know, I don't want to think about anything at all. I just want that's like a mental break.
That's such a great point. You know, my friend's dad, now that you mentioned that, my friend's dad was a lawyer. After work, he just sat and watched TV for like 5 hours every single day.
Yeah.
That was, oh my God, that was him taking a mental. I used to always wonder, I was like, that is so weird. But being a lawyer can be exhausting.
Yeah.
And so then the other break that I came across was rest, sorry. The other type of rest is social rest. Basically, this is taking a step back from engaging into so many social activities. And I was like, okay, as a type 7, they are talking mm-hmm. to me. Because I have this whole thing of FOMO, and I know Jenny has too. But I think with social rest, it's the ability to say no to events you genuinely don't want to attend. And it's not just saying no to those, but it's also social rest can be quality time with a special friend. And I think the reason why this is social rest is because that your friend, you don't have to put on an act. You're just enjoying, and your friend lets you be, and you're comfortable. And I think that's why that's social rest. It's kind of interesting.
I like that one too.
Yeah.
Social rest can be quality time with the people that you really want to be around.
Yeah.
Or just quality time in general.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of like, yeah, you're mm-hmm. right. Because, yeah, social rest makes sense when you're having boundaries and not going to events. Mm-hmm. But I never thought of it as being spending quality time.
Me too. I never thought of it that way. But then when I think about some of the times that I feel socially rested, so like I have a very good relationship with my sister. She's also my friend. So sometimes I'll just go to her house and we don't even have to talk to each other. We'll talk to each other when we need to, but I'll just kind of like be sitting next to her. She's doing her thing. I'm doing her thing. And it's like, oh yeah. Or it could be just a deep conversation with Jenny. And I'm just like spending mm-hmm. this time with Jenny, and I'm just talking and talking and talking, and you know, just being myself.
And you don't feel drained after,
mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Like when you have that quality time, you don't feel drained. That's the difference.
Right. Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah, and then there's also sensory rest, and I think this is what I think many people lack. Think simply just because we have a 100 gazillion notifications going off all the time. So with sensory rest, it's basically either like calm sessions or phone-free time or like some people can silence notifications throughout the day. They're not looking at their phones, receiving no notifications until probably the end of the day when they have a moment like, okay, this is my phone time moment. And I think it makes a lot of sense because, you know, things coming at you all the time. Imagine like your phone's beeping like all these notifications, maybe social media or whatever, email, and then your laptop's beeping at you and all these noises all around. I think sometimes our senses get over flooded and it's just good to have that rest. And that's why I like when we go to camps, you know, like camp out, because you kind of take a break from LA sirens, from phones.
Yeah. You take a break from not only sirens, but your phone, because you're in nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't have reception out there, so you're forced to take a break from your phones.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, especially in these days when we have so many smart gadgets. I think sensory rest is really important. Then the last one, which is very interesting, is spiritual rest. And I thought, wait, spiritual rest, is that taking a break from my beliefs or whatever? But it's actually leaning into your spiritual life. And so this could be like meditation for some people. It could be yoga for others. It could be just quiet moments where someone is introspecting on life. Then for some other people, it could be like singing a song, maybe a worship song, praying, having faith sessions for whatever religion that you practice. And I was like, okay, this actually makes sense. I feel like some of the most peaceful people, they have they have cultivated a lot of spiritual rest in their lives. I feel like some of the people I hang around with, and they have such a calm energy. When you get to know them better, they've really cultivated spiritual rest in their lives. And I think that's powerful.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's a lot. So let's recap. So we've got physical rest.
Right.
Creative rest. Emotional rest. Mental rest. Social rest. Sensory rest. And spiritual rest.
Right.
So out of those seven, Mary, what would you say that you've maybe done most of, or one that you feel most comfortable doing? And then what is one that you maybe need to work a little bit more on?
I think I would love to work more on spiritual rest. I don't feel like my spiritual practices are up to par. And by up to par, I mean my meditation. Like, I'm yet to get into a proper groove of meditation. And I know meditation doesn't have to be very long, but like building those intentional meditative moments in my life, I'm not yet there. I'm not yet there. I will get there. And I think
you will get there.
And I think the one, did you say the ones that I've really done well with?
Or like, maybe I'll rephrase my question. What rest have you done that has helped you? Like in the past year, maybe.
In the past year, I think it's been social rest. So I used to be such a FOMO, like fear of missing out so much. Like I would say yes to everything because I'll be like, what if I miss the experience of a lifetime? What if I miss this? What if I miss this? So I was always on the go. But over the past year, I have learned to be okay with saying, okay, my body needs to rest. I'm not going to go to this event. And no one likes me less for saying no to the event. And also, my body thanks me for taking that time just to be at home. So I think that's the one over the past year that has really, really helped me like achieve a certain level of regeneration, or I don't know, what is it, like a certain level of rest. What about you, Jenny?
I really resonate with that you've been taking social rest. I mean, I am in the same boat. I always feel FOMO, but my friend Sonia gave me a book that is JOMO, which is joy of missing out. So we should embrace JOMO more.
That's really good, actually.
Yeah, which I feel like I have been doing way better this year with than previous years. I would definitely like to work on, I think, physical rest, spiritual rest, and sensory rest more. Especially in the past few months, I haven't been sleeping well. And I know it's probably my lack of like physical rest. Sometimes I'll, you know, stay up really late just because I can't fall asleep. So I'll just like watch shows, or I'm on my phone constantly. Or sometimes the first thing I look at when I wake up, or the last thing I look at before I go to sleep, is my phone. And I think that absolutely contributes to my lack of healthy sleep. So definitely want to work on those more. Work on my spiritual, that I think that's ongoing for me. To continue to work on meditating, or, you know, finding what meditation, like what types of meditation works for me. I think that's important. But yes, I agree with you. Something that has been helping me is social rest, saying no when I, you know, really don't, my body's going to tell me if I want to go out or not.
Right.
A lot of the times my body will tell me, but my brain's like, no, but I want to be there, so I'm going to do it. But this year it's like, nah, I don't have to do that. And I still feel great. And you're right. People still love you the same.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
That's important to know and to acknowledge.
Right, right. So I was reading this, that Dr. Robbins. Dr. Robbins is one of the people that talks about rest. And they say that actually our energy is not linear when we wake up. And I think not all of us have the same energy. And so the advice was, it's important for us to notice our personal pattern of productivity and then do our best to protect our productive hours for work and then lean into the restful activities during our less productive times. And I was like, that's actually that's very important advice. Say, for example, my sister is not a morning person. So that means that's her less productive time. So she can rest in the morning, and then once her energy is up, then she can accomplish all her tasks. I'm the exact opposite. I'm a morning person, get all my activities done in the morning, and then once my energy is depleted, get into my rest mode. I think that's pretty good advice.
Wait, that's really good advice. I'm so opposite than you because I'm not a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
I do get a lot more energy at night. So, yeah, I guess it's just like not putting ourselves in this like construct of how we feel like we have to be because of people around us or our peers, but really finding what works for you throughout the day, where your energy levels are, and balancing that out with like productivity and just what works for you and your body. I love that.
Me too. And that was a queerly noted. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's a queerly noted. A dual queerly noted.
Yeah, definitely. So folks out there, energy is not linear. So find time, your personal pattern that actually works for you so that you can be productive when your energy is at peak and then lean into rest when your energy is low. And I think that's a powerful practice to have.
Agreed. Wow. Great episode. Till next time,
rest up.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all!